Everything you hear from us on the radio, online, or on a podcast is made possible by listeners who support Michigan Public. Our spring membership drive begins March 16th, but you can make a gift of support today at michiganpublic.org/donate.
From Michigan Public, this is It's Just Politics. I'm Zoe Clark.
And I'm Rick Pluta.
Data centers, the race for governor, and how we rank ourselves as Michiganders against other states.
Those are some of the topics pollster Richard Shuba asked Michigan voters about in his latest Glengariff poll, commissioned by the Detroit Regional Chamber.
On today's show, Richard Shuba is back with an in-depth look at where Michiganders currently stand on some of the state's most pressing issues. Richard Shuba, welcome back to It's Just Politics.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So let's start with data centers. It feels like there's a lot of news out there in Michigan focused on this issue, but your poll really surprised me about what folks know about data centers. What did you find?
Well, we asked the first question, have you seen or heard anything about data centers over the past year? And only 57% of the voters said they've seen or heard something, which tells us, you know, you've got over 40% of the state. It's not paying any attention to the issue of data centers right now. And I think we get, you know, we get carried away because we pay so much attention to these issues.
Right.
We forget how many people don't. And this was a good example of that.
So for those who had heard, there's very little support, no?
Correct. For that 57%, we asked them what they have seen or heard. And 5% of those respondents said something favorable about them. 25% said something unfavorable, like it's going to raise my electricity rates, it uses too much water, it's going to pollute our groundwater, those types of statements. But the other two-thirds of those voters gave what I would call a neutral statement, and I want to be careful how we frame that. What we mean by neutral is they were repeating something they've seen or heard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I see people are protesting. I see that people don't want them in their community. I will tell you those, while we say it's neutral, it is disproportionately reflecting a negative. And I think what that tells us is that the narrative around data centers right now is very negative for those paying attention. There is very little being talked about in the way of why they're needed, what they do, how they might be beneficial to a community. That's not part of the conversation right now. And I think it's very interesting that the narrative seems to be getting away from those who want to build data centers.
Are data centers, are we seeing this is a Democratic issue, a Republican issue, something else?
It is one of those issues that it's one of those rare issues that's kind of across the board right now. There's not any big pockets of support that we're seeing in these numbers for data centers, and it kind of plays across the spectrum. I will say Democratic voters were slightly more negative than those Republican voters, but it's only because the Republican voters that we could see were moving into kind of a neutral category. So it isn't to say that they aren't negative, it's just that they weren't as overtly negative as the Democrats were.
What about where people live? How do opinions shift depending on where you live in Michigan?
Well, you know, that is something I do have some sense of. And for example, I think in urban areas, the opinion isn't as strong because we're not seeing data centers being built in urban cities across Michigan. They're largely being built in, you know, townships, exurban areas, rural areas. And that's where voters are, you know, I think the most engaged and frankly, the most stridently opposed right now, because they are the ones dealing with it in their communities. Whereas the more you get closer to the heart of a population center, the less they're dealing with it on a daily basis.
Does this seem to you like an issue that will solidify opinion once it becomes more politicized, or do you see it remaining more of a local community-based issue?
I actually see this becoming very much a national issue because data centers, they drive artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence is very much a national, international concern right now. And I just see it all becoming part of the same issue of data centers and artificial intelligence. And, you know, we did polling this past summer, specifically where we asked questions about artificial intelligence. And people's views are very mixed on that also, because they understand the benefits that it could bring. They are also seeing thousands of white-collar jobs being chopped right now. And voters are very much in line with this idea that it'll bring benefits, but how is anybody going to find a job if it takes over all of our jobs? So I see data centers and artificial intelligence morphing together as an issue that's going to have to be dealt with nationally.
Yeah, in fact, we spoke with Pete Buttigieg a few months ago, who said he thought AI data centers, particularly in the Midwest, are going to just be such a larger part of the conversation than they are right now, only going to grow bigger.
And, you know, Michigan has a unique, I think, perspective on data centers in that one of the great overwhelming things we hear is the use of water.
Right.
And Michigan is water. Michigander, if there is one thing that unites Michiganders, it's the protection of water. And that is why Michigan has a unique perspective on this, in that across the political aisle, voters say, we've got to protect our greatest natural resource. And that natural resource is water, and data centers need water, at least the ones that don't have closed loop water systems.
Do you see, as this issue becomes more nationalized, as you pointed out, do you see opinions on this gravitating towards a conservative and Republican side and a Democratic slash progressive side?
You know, I think, frankly, opinion on data centers is becoming very, very entrenched against them on the Democratic side already. It's more stronger responses come from the Democratic voters on this issue. Republicans are still open to them, but you've got to have a narrative. You've got to help them understand what the benefits are. I think the economic arguments will work on the Republican side and frankly with some of the independent voters to an extent. But where this really comes into play, you know, they may say, oh, yeah, I'll allow data centers in Michigan, but will they allow data centers in their community? Mm-hmm. And that's a whole different issue nobody's dealing with. It's like, okay, we'll allow them in the state, but I don't want them here. And that's a different fight. That's a not in my backyard fight.
We're speaking with Richard Shuba, founder of Glenn Gariff Group, about his latest poll. So another really interesting segment of your polling was about how we as Michiganders see ourselves, rank ourselves compared to other states. What did you find?
Well, frankly, in this poll, I thought these were the numbers that just smacked me in the face. We asked the voters to rank Michigan on 6 different metrics. And we said, how do we rank from 1 to 50 amongst the 50 states on this? And an example, you know, fourth grade reading scores, per capita income, Michigan's unemployment rate. We wanted to know where voters thought we were on that. And what we found on all 6 of these metrics is they rank Michigan smack dab in the middle. For example, reading scores, they ranked us at 26.8. For per capita income, they ranked us at 27.4. Unemployment rate, they ranked us at 28.6. I found it interesting in its own right that so many Michiganders think the state is average. They don't think we're particularly above average on any of these factors, We're just average. But what really is shocking is Michigan voters have no clue whatsoever about how Michigan really ranks on these. And, you know, I gave you those three reading scores. They ranked us at 26.8. Well, we're actually 44th. On per capita income, they ranked us at 27.4. We're actually 40th. And if you look in the last 25 years in income growth, we're actually 50th. We're the worst state in income growth over the last quarter century. And on the unemployment rate, they ranked us at 28.6. We're actually 45th. So Michigan ranks really poorly on those metrics. And what's clear is the voters of the state don't know it.
Richard, why do you think that is? What do you make of this over-ranking?
I think part of the reason is because they are not hearing from not just political leaders, they're not hearing from many of our institutional leaders that we have problems in the state of Michigan. And, you know, I kind of get it from the political leaders because this has been happening now for example, per capita income. It's been happening over 25 years. Both parties have had control at some point over that last 25 years. They don't want to point out, hey, guess what? Michigan's really bad on per capita income compared to everyone else, because that would require them to share the responsibility. But I think for the institutional leaders, and we're starting to see groups like Michigan Futures, Business Leaders for Michigan, the Greater Detroit Chamber of Commerce, really focusing in on talking about these issues now, because you can't get improvement if the voters don't know there's a problem to begin with.
Richard, do you think this will change during this election year, that the party not in power, let's say candidates for governor, Republicans, might highlight some of these numbers about how poorly Michigan is doing and that this might, I don't know, smack some people in the face a little bit with some of this data?
Well, you know, I've actually been thinking about this in a previous life, as you guys know. I was very much involved on the political side, on one side of the aisle, and it was kind of the party out of power's responsibility to bring these issues to light, to give them air with the voters. And what we have now, the party out of power is the Republican Party right now in Michigan. We're hearing some of this from them, but the reality is we're hearing a lot of their candidates run a primary to one person, and that's Donald Trump. And so they're not as focused on highlighting these issues as parties out of power have been in the past, to put it bluntly. And it's going to cost Michigan if we don't grapple with these issues. Because, you know, those rankings I read to you, we're not good. And it's a fast descent. We're not stopping. Per capita income, perhaps, is one of the most shocking figures. That figure that over the last 25 years, we're 50th in income growth. And, you know, it really goes to what we're seeing in the polling, that voters in Michigan are just, frankly, apoplectic about costs. Well, part of the reason costs are so expensive in Michigan is because our income growth is not keeping up compared to other states.
I guess I'm thinking from a policy standpoint, you know, optimism about the state can be helpful, but it can be potentially risky because it can create complacency.
And, you know, we regularly test Michigan. Is Michigan on the right track or is it on the wrong track? And a majority of Michigan voters think the state is on the right track. And I think part of that is due to a whole myriad of reasons. Some of it goes to which party is in power and do you like them? But it can also be reflected by, as Sandy Barua at the Chamber likes to say, are the Pistons winning? Are the Lions winning? Makes you feel good about Michigan. But when we talk about what does our state look like compared to the other states, I think it's startling that Michigan voters just don't know. And they need to know if the state is going to change any of this.
Richard, is is it unusual for voters, for Michiganders, to overrank ourselves? And why is it that we're seeing people's perceptions reflected in your polling seem to be rosier than how other data suggests that, well, maybe they should see things?
Well, you know, I compare this to talking about schools with voters. And when you ask voters, for example, how are the schools in Michigan doing? You get a lot of voters say, oh, not good, not good at all. But then we ask them, well, what about your school? Oh, my school's great.
Right.
My school's doing fantastic. You know, we did this work for the Defense Democracy Project on elections. And we asked them, if Michigan's, you know, if their local elections were fair and accurate, overwhelmingly, yeah, voters say my local election is accurate. What about other counties' local elections? Well, suddenly those weren't as accurate. And so I think some of that plays in here where it's like, oh, Michigan's okay. We're not hearing about any crisis. I will say, if we were to have done this back in 2008, 2009, 2010, I think these rankings would have been much lower because everyone in Michigan understood the state was in a crisis coming off the Great Recession. They saw the auto industry declaring bankruptcy. You know, it was company after company closing, people losing their houses. They knew there was a crisis. Right now, they don't know there's a crisis. Hmm. And it's a different challenge for policymakers because you don't want to be the king of gloom and doom telling them there's a crisis. But at the same time, if they don't know, you can't fix the problem.
Hmm. Well, finally, let's turn to the purely political, that is the race for governor. We are, of course, 8 months away from the general, 5 months from the primaries, so there is still time. But what stood out for you from what you found?
Well, what we're seeing is, first and foremost, this is a dead even three-way race. We tested Mike Duggan as the independent, Jocelyn Besson as the Democrat, John James as the Republican. Since then, we've had a new entry into the Republican primary with Perry Johnson. So we didn't test him, but we tested these three. It's a very close race. And what we continue to see is Mike Duggan getting additional traction. And we did something really different in this survey that I usually don't do. We usually put out, you know, how do the candidates do in the Metro Detroit market? How do they do in outstate? But we actually pull samples from 10 different regions in the state. But each of those is such a small sample size, I usually don't report them. In this case, I thought it was important to report all 10 of those regions because it helps us understand where are Mike Duggan's numbers coming from. And what we are seeing is he just has a very strong base of support coming out of Wayne County, of course, but he's, you know, polling 45% in Macomb. He's polling 40 in Oakland County. Those are the three counties that are driving his numbers. And we wanted to show that individually. And I just want to go back when we talk about this governor's race, we need to remember we've never seen this in Michigan. We've never seen a race with an independent that is so strong. The previous highest I could find for anybody running for governor as an independent was 2.6%, and that was Bob Tisch in 1982. So we don't know what this is. We just don't have an answer because it's so unusual in Michigan history.
How much do you think national political dynamics are influencing voter attitudes towards the governor's race versus strictly state-based issues?
I think that the national issues have not come into play in this race. I think this is strictly people early on in the process are saying, well, you know, we see this in all the polling. They don't like either of their party choices. On either side of the aisle, there's a big chunk of voters who are suddenly getting this independent option, and they're flirting with it. But to answer your question specifically, and I don't know the answer to this question, as the election gets closer, this will become a nationalized election. Mm-hmm. Because Donald Trump, or whoever the incumbent president is, the midterm election becomes a referendum on that. And in the environment we're in, this will become nationalized. And all those people flirting with an independent for governor, do they go back to their previous corners that they've always voted in, mostly a Republican or a Democrat? We don't know the answer. Or does this environment become so divided and so partisan that people are like, we got to do something different? We don't know the answer to that question. We'll know the answer to that the day after the election.
I was going to say, and we'll continue to look to you for answers. That is Richard Shuba, founder of Glenn Gariff Group, who we always learn from. Richard, thanks so much for the time and the data.
Thank you.
Always great to be here.
And that is It's Just Politics for today. I am Zoe Clark.
And I'm Rick Pluta.
Let's talk again next week.